Amen. Beautiful song this morning. Appreciate that. Done a wonderful job. Amen. All right. I'm going to preach. I hope you listen. Maybe you won't go to sleep. I'm going to look at something here in just a little bit. God just laid this thought on my heart earlier in the week. And it sort of goes along with everything we've heard today. It really does. I like how God puts things together. Let me say this real quickly. Two things. How many of you know this morning, let's just be honest, and I believe we all should answer this in, with a raised hand. How many of us know somebody this morning? And again, we're not the judge. But how many of us know somebody this morning that we just believe in our heart, if they died today, they'd probably be in hell? How many of us know somebody like that? I believe we all know people that way. And it's not about me and it's not about you, but I believe with all of my heart we as believers ought to want everybody that we know to be saved. Anybody, not just people we know, anybody. I know it's the Lord's will that all come to know Him. And but next Sunday, Lord willing, God has laid a message on my heart to preach next Sunday morning. And I want to encourage you. It's not going to be for the saved person. But I'm glad that it does apply to the saved person because I know that I'm saved. And but next Sunday morning, God's laid a message on my heart already. If God, He might change it before then, but I believe with all my heart He's going to let me preach this message next Sunday morning. And it's going to be dealing with people going to hell. And I'd really want to encourage you, if you've got somebody you know, a family member, a loved one, a friend, that you believe that's lost, will you try your best to have them here next Sunday morning? Because the only way they're going to get saved is to hear the gospel. It's not about this preacher. It's not about this church. It's about the power of God. And so if you will, pray about that this week. And pray also that God put power, because I know His Word's not going to return void. I know His Word's going to do what it's going to do. But I believe with our heart, if we'll pray and seek God's face, I believe God don't lay messages like that on people's heart just for nothing. So I want to encourage you, if you can, next week. It's not going to be mean. I'm going to love people just to death. I really am, because that's what Christ done. He loved them to death. He loved them to the cross. Amen. So I want to encourage you to do that. Then the second thing, I don't know how many of you listen to it. There's a great radio station out of Berean Baptist Church. It's hard to pick up here on your radio, but if you have internet, you can listen to it. It's WPIP out of Berean Baptist Church. But Brother Beatty, about two Sundays ago now maybe, preached a wonderful message. I've listened to some of it. I'm going to order the CD because they're playing in clips. But it's a message on Christians and guns. Christians and guns. What's that got to do with anything? Well, he takes a lot of our forefathers and the history of this country and draws it to the place of the scriptures and how preachers, and I can't remember that preacher's name, but I'm going to write it down when I listen to it again. There's a preacher back in revolutionary days. He had a pistol on each side of his pulpit. He wasn't scared of the people in the pew, but he was scared of the enemy coming in and disrupting the preaching of the gospel. Come on. And I've really enjoyed listening to Brother Beatty. He's a tremendous preacher, a great historian. But I'm going to get a copy of that. They're playing it every day. I think it's at 2 o'clock every day on WPIP. So if you want to get a chance, you can listen to that this week. All right, Acts chapter 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, when you found your place, let's stand together this morning. Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at something this morning that we've sung much about this morning. Russell don't plan things this way. I know he just prays and the Lord puts things together. But all the songs this morning have drawn to the same thought we're going to preach about this morning. We've heard much about salvation. We just heard that wonderful song this morning. Is there anything too hard for God? You know, that depends on who your God is this morning. Now, if you've got a God of this world, there's a lot of things that's too hard for that God. But I'm glad this morning I serve the God, the only true God. And I can say this morning, there's nothing too hard for Him. Amen. And we're going to look at this morning this thought of power. And here in Acts chapter 1, we know that the book of Acts, let me say this, the book of Acts is a transitional book. Be very, very careful as you read and study the book of Acts. It's a transitional period. There's gifts given in the book of Acts. There are apostolic gifts given to these men and only to those men to do those things. And it's not this preacher that says that. It's the Bible shows that. And but there was power given. So let's look at it this morning. And we're going to look at the power of God this morning. The Bible says, verse number 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles," again, who's it wrote to the apostles, "whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." I'm glad I serve a living God this morning. It's after his passion. "Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power." Notice they ask a question in verse number 7 about the kingdom. And Jesus tells them, that's not your power, that's God's power. And then he turns around in verse number 8 and says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Verse 12 says, "Then returned they in Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, and both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, his brother. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren." Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for the great songs, Lord. I thank you, Lord, how they've touched my heart this morning. And God, this morning, you know the greatest need of all this morning, God, and I pray, God, as Brother Russell's done testified, God, if there's somebody here this morning, God, that's not truly saved, God, maybe they've been baptized, maybe they've been through church all their lives, maybe they've got a form and a fashion, God, but they don't have a possession this morning. I pray this morning, God, that, Lord, that we'd get out of the way this morning, God, that the Holy Spirit would have liberty in this place, and God, that you'd just move in the hearts of your people, Lord, this morning, God, and Lord, save souls. God, thank you for the ones that we've heard that's been saved this week. God, thank you, Lord, for how you're still in the saving business. But God, I pray for the church this morning, God. I pray this morning, God, that you'd stir in our midst in such a way, God, Lord, that we can just leave this place, Lord, better and stronger than we came. And God, I pray again, God, you'd be with our young folks this morning in their classes. Pray, Lord, you'll bless them. God, have your way this morning. We'll praise you for all that you do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. But here in Acts chapter 1, we see a great promise from God. God tells here through the Lord Jesus Christ, tells those men after he's went to the cross, he's died. And we know that he was buried. And we know how he rose again. And we know how he came and he showed himself unto the apostles and showed himself to be true and alive and all those things. And here he's getting ready to ascend back up into heaven. And he tells them that they're getting ready to have something happen to them. Now, I know in the Baptist church especially, we get a little scared of this. We've let the charismatic crowd and this bunch spook us, but he tells us that there's something going to take place. They were supposed to go and wait on something to happen. And he tells them to go and keep yourselves there, and when the Holy Ghost is going to come upon them, you can read on there later how that happens, how the Holy Ghost comes upon them. They receive power. We know how they talk in tongues. You believe in tongue talking? I sure do. I'm doing it right now. I'm a talking in my tongue. What tongue are you talking in? Redneck English. That's what I use. Now, I can't speak Spanish. Some of you might. If you can speak Spanish, you have another tongue. Tongue isn't something, ooh, blue, 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 yabba dabba doo. That's not tongues. That's Fred Flintstone. tongues scripturally. Scripturally. If you follow what happens, they spoke in languages that all those people that were gathered in Jerusalem were able to understand, the Bible says, in their own language. That's not complicated, is it? We like to make it complicated, but it's not complicated. They spoke in a tongue that they understood their language. So what's tongues? Tongues are simply a language. It's a language like English or redneck English or Spanish or German or whatever language you might know. But it's not some off the wall something that nobody understands what you're saying. Amen. So we see these men, and the Bible tells us there in verse number 8. Let's look at it again this morning, Acts chapter 1. Let me get back over. I didn't turn to another place. Look over verse number 1, or Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, but ye shall receive, and here's what we're looking at this morning, this word power. I know that this past Friday, I don't know how much y'all had here. We had a pretty good coating of ice. It was, you know, pretty slick in some places, and I know on up, I heard up in Mount Airy, there were several lost power up there because of the ice, and I know in the past we've had storms before, and boy, isn't it inconvenient, when the power goes out, isn't it? We don't realize how we love power until it's not there, isn't it? But I'm telling you this morning, we've been given power from God this morning, and I wonder this morning, has the power gone out? I wonder. Let me ask you this. Now, most of you laugh when somebody does it, but I believe everybody's done it before. How many of you has ever went, you know the power's off, and what do? You walk over and flip the switch. Man, I forgot the power's off. We've probably all done that. I wonder how many churches today went over and flipped the switch and nothing come on. And I'm not talking about electricity either. We've lost sight of that there is power. I made mention of that Holy Ghost and how many of us this morning have got spooked away. There is a Holy Ghost, amen. It ain't a it. It ain't a thing. It's a person. It's the third person of the Trinity, amen. And God has given us the Holy Ghost, that great comforter. And with that Holy Ghost came power. Now, let's not get sidetracked. Let me draw it to your mind. There was power given to the apostles. That wasn't given to you, nor anybody else in our day and time. We don't slap people in the head. I'd like to slap a few people in the head, but we don't slap people in the head and say be healed because all they're going to have there is a sore head and probably a sore hand where I slapped them. But the apostles had gifts of healing. Do you believe in healing today? I sure do. I believe it just as much as I believe anything I believe, but I don't believe healing comes to a man. Where's healing come from? It comes from the only place it can. It comes from God. Yeah. So, but God tells them that something miraculous is getting ready to take place. That same thought this morning to us as believers here in this age of grace, this church age, this dispensation of grace, we have been given power. Really? Sure we have. But I'm afraid this morning that most of us don't have a clue what that power is. Let me share some scripture with you this morning. Look with me this morning. Take your Bibles over to the book of Deuteronomy. I want you to see this. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning. Power. You're going to receive power. Look at verse number 11 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. God's warning the nation of Israel here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11 says this, beware. When I go to a door or a property and I see a sign that says beware of dog, my eyes and my ears perk up. Now, I have been places where they've got a beware a dog sign. I ain't seen a dog yet. But I have been some places where they said beware of dog and I've seen teeth. But when God says beware, I believe that you ought to perk up and pay attention. He He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Oh, preacher, how could we ever forget God? Well, I believe we do it a lot. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments. How do you forget him? You don't do what he says. I know, but. If you put but in there, you didn't know. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, sound like America, doesn't it? And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. Look at what I got. We all ate probably something this morning. Might not have been what you wanted, but you ate. You're probably going to eat again here in just a little while. Might be like Russell. Just preach, if you shut up, we'd go eat right now. I'm not picking on Russell. Every one of us sat there before wishing the preacher would shut up. My wife does a lot, but no. It says, when thy herds, verse 13, and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. See, this morning, a lot of times the problem that we have is we begin to get cocky. Look at what I can do. Look at what I did. Look at me. Look at me. And that's exactly what God's saying here to the nation of Israel. He's saying, look, I brought you out of the land of Egypt where you were in bondage. I brought you across that wilderness where there were scorpions and drought and no water. And I gave you water out of a rock. And now you've got possessions and now you've got all the food you want. And now you got what you feel like safety. And you're sitting back and you say, look what we did. That's what he's saying. And verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power, and the might of my hand hath gotten me this well. What he said. Verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. You know why America is in the place that we are today financially? You know why America today is prospered in such a way that it's prospered? Let me tell you why. It's exactly what God told the nation of Israel. God says, I gave you that power to build a nation. I gave you that ability to do what you've done. Why? That you could spread the gospel around the world. And America has been birthed as a nation. And America has prospered over these hundreds of years. Why? Because God has used America to get the gospel around the world. But now, the hand of God is coming off of America. Why? Because we begin to say, my power. Preachers across America say, look at me. We're building my ministry. Yeah. Oh man, he's a great orator. He's this. We're polishing men today to be businessmen that to run churches, to build mega buildings and mega thises and have all this and that. And listen, I'm for reaching people. But listen, we need to realize this morning where our power comes from. It ain't this preacher. If God's going to do anything here, he's going to choose to use people like you and I, and it's going to have to come through his power. Amen. And that's what he's telling them. He says, you say it's your power. But he says, I'll let you see. He said, but thou shalt remember, verse 18, look with the Lord thy God, for it is he that hath given thee power to get this wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day. And listen, look up here. I testify the same. I ain't God, but the word's testifying this today. He says, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely, what's that word there?
Perish.
What's going on in America? What's happening to us? How did we get here? Because we forgot where our power comes from. And because of that, God says, I'll remind you. And you're going to perish. Verse 20 says, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face. Look how God showed Israel his power. They went out there to battle. They fought armies that looked like grasshoppers. This, as far as their eyes could see, is the enemy. And here's a bunch of redneck Israelites with sticks and stones. And God would go out there and whip them. Why? Because God was using them through his power. He says, as the nations, verse 20, as the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. I wish I'd have brought it with me. I'll try to remember exactly what I read, and I might try to share it. If I don't get it in my mind by this evening, I'll have it Wednesday. I read a thing this week, and boy, it just showed me, because of America's tendency to turn from the truth. We use the King James Bible. Why? Because I believe it's God's word for English-speaking people. I don't use an NIV because of all the things that the NIV has left out. One of the great whoredoms of the NIV is the homosexuality. They had a lesbian woman that helped write the NIV. And you want to carry one of those? And their influences in scriptures that they left out dealing with homosexuality just because she was one. And America's paying the price of that because they've changed the word of God. And what God said against homosexuality, they took out. And it's made a great influence in the negative in our country. I'm just being honest with you. And that's what God's saying. You forget my power, I'll show you. You'll perish. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, God told him, says, you're going to receive power. And I'm glad this morning I got power. There's power, power, wonderful working power. Where? It's found in the blood of Christ. There's power this morning. And he tells them here where their power comes from. Nehemiah chapter 1, we won't take time to let you turn there, but Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 10 says this, now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. I'm redeemed how? Same way, by the strong hand of God. Psalm 62:11 says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto, and the only place, God. But ye shall receive power. Where'd it come from? God. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 27 says this. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. The power of thy hand. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Love that story. They thought, we're going to be spiritual. They sold that little bit of land. They sold it for an X amount of dollars. They wanted to show, write big letters what was on their, what's that thing? Tithe an envelope. Put it in there. And God said, Took the man of God, brought the man in there and says, so you sold it for this amount. Yep, that's what we sold it for. Give it all to God. Oh, did you? I'm paraphrasing. And he asked him, was it not in thine own power, basically? He says, could you not? Why are you lying to God? is in your power, not to lie to God, but you're doing it. And we know that God kills him. About 3 hours later or so, his wife shows up. She comes in looking all pretty and all and says, ask that same question. So you sold that land for X amount, did you? Oh yeah, that's what we sold. Gave it all to God. Oh really? Why are you lying to God? The footsteps of the men just buried your husband. They're at the door. God killed her. God has given us power. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Where's it come from? And I got to thinking about power and strength and God's strength. You know, today, I was going to get Brother John to help me with this, but I was afraid that that mental picture would never leave our mind. You know, power, strength. You know, what do you say it is? We see somebody, and I was going to, you know, a lot of times we think of power as that strength. You know, I was going to get John in those spandex and get him up here. And, but I didn't want to embarrass all this other men. But you know, listen to me. Look at me. Look at me. A lot of times, though, we'll see a man. There's nothing wrong. I mean, man, I wish my arms would pump up like that. But we'll see that. We'll think, boy, that guy there is strong. Man, he's got power. And you look at the outside of him and you think that he's very strong. And I'm not saying he's not strong. But I can tell you this by experience. His muscles might make him look strong, but I grew up on a farm. And just because you don't have big old arms and guns, I kid you not, there was a black man used to help us pick up hay. You'd think he was a weakling, but it amazed me. We used a silage truck, Brother Ed, with big old sideboards back when you used to blow silage into trucks like that. And we'd use that to get the hay up on sometimes. And I kid you not, I saw this black man do this with my own eyes. He'd take we always had square bales up to the latter part of my grandpa's life. He'd take a square bale in this hand and a square bale in this hand. He'd walk up to that truck and he'd go. And throw both of them over the side of that silage truck like it wasn't nothing. And it was all I could do to get one up on the back end. He had a lot of power, but he didn't look like it. He was strong, but it didn't show. So God says, you're going to receive power. And a lot of times we look at preachers and say, man, he's got the power of God on him. Does he? Oh, look at my old sister so-and-so. Boy, she's got the... I read something in the Salisbury Post this week. I about puked after I read it. And if I'm raining on your parade, just get mad at me and tell me later. This person was bragging on Joel Osteen, smiley guy himself. Talking about how he's such a godly man and how he got the power of God on him. He don't even use the right Bible. He don't even tell men that they're sinners. He ain't nothing to me. He's just a hindrance. He's not the only knucklehead out there. But people look at people and say, man, she's so godly. What makes her so godly? Well, look at all the power of God she's got on her life. What are you measuring it by? Come on. But God said you're going to receive power. So there is power to have. But it ain't my power. It ain't my muscles. Another thing. Now, this thing's a man thing, I guess. I think about power. Not only does people look at muscles, you know, man, they must be powerful. My son's this way. Got that Mustang, got 500 some horsepower power under the hood. Oh, Dad, don't that sound good? I said, my Corolla, three-cylinder, whatever it is, it runs 70 miles an hour. That's the speed limit on 85. Hold it! Look at all that power! Why? Because it's loud? Is that what makes it powerful? But you know, that's what a lot of times when we think about spiritual power. Man, look at that! Oh, that's a nice one there. Look at that building right there. That's nice. Oh, look at what this is. Look at that. Oh, look at this. Is that power? Let me ask you something. In the Bible, and that's where we ought to look, who did God use? Oh, y'all want a king, huh? God gave him a king. What'd he turn out like? Then he went over there and says, okay, I got you somebody. Who did he find? A little shepherd boy named David. He wasn't the tallest. He wasn't the biggest. He wasn't the prettiest. But what did he have? He had power of God. Come on. So a lot of times we look at power and we look at the might of a person, or we look at the loud or the speed. What's another thing? And this is a big one today. And I'm not against education. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of what used to be good churches. They won't let a man preach in their pulpit unless he's a doctor bottle stopper.
That's right.
If he ain't got some big old degree that makes him something. Listen, I went to Bible college. I really did. Believe it or not, I did. I graduated. I really did, believe it or not. Got the paper to show it. But going to Bible college didn't make me a preacher. But a lot of people today think power is in the mind of what they know. I love Brother Beatty. Brother Beatty can spit out history. Boy, he's so smart. But he always draws it back to that book.
Sure.
I listened to preaching before and never hear scripture mentioned.
Right.
They're talking about all the things that they know. What about the Bible? So God says you're going to receive power. Power. What is that power? And I'm out of time, but you want to know where you, what power of God is. Can I show you? Would you like to know? I can show you, and if you'll let God show you, you'll see that you've got power if you'll just let it. It's not in your statute. It's not in your boom speed. It's not in your mental capacity. Let me show you power this morning. Take your Bibles this morning over to the book of Psalms. I don't have time to show you all this, but I'll show you the ingredients to power. What is the power of God? Let me read it to you this morning. Look in Psalms chapter 46. That's a beautiful sound. Psalms 46. Let's read the whole Psalms and I'll show you what I'm talking about. You shall receive power, is what he told them. Verse 1 of Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river. Boy, I love that. I've preached that before. There is a river. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles most high. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rightly early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, which what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Can I show you the key to power? Verse number 10. Here's power. Be still and know that I am God. The greatest strength. It's not when something comes into your life if you can move it with your own flesh. The greatest strength isn't that you run faster than anybody else and get away from troubles. The greatest strength isn't that you're so smart that you manipulate and do things. thinking you're getting away. The greatest strength is when you're walking through life and life throws you trouble, you are still. And you just know that God is God. That's true strength. Preacher, what am I going to do? Be still. And just know. But preacher, I got to do something. No. God says you want strength. Be still. And know that I am God. But preacher, we got to do. No. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. If you look at these verses here in Psalm chapter 46, God shows you some things. Let me give them to you real quickly. The first thing you see in verses 1 through 3, and I ain't got time to preach this, but God shows himself as our protector. God protects you. Be still and just know that God is on your side, that God will never fail you, that God will. But preacher, no. Be still. Realize that God is who He is and God is my protector. But I can protect myself, can you? You know, a lot of times we feel, where do you feel safe at? Probably the safest place you feel. I do. At home. Don't you feel safe at home? I heard on the news this morning, somebody got killed in Charlotte, I think it is. Somebody walked in their home and killed them. Wasn't too safe there, was it? I feel safe at home. I feel safe at the church. There's crazy people out there. I'm always, when I'm sitting in a restaurant, I watch people. I sit and think, that guy there could kill somebody, I bet. Preacher, you look at people that way? You better. God's my protector. Well, preacher, why you carry a gun? He gave me sense, too. I believe that. God gives you sense. He's our protector. Psalms chapter 91, verses 1 through 5 shows a lot about His protection. Do you know God's a provider? Verses 4 and 5 there in that Psalms that we just read, Psalms 46, God shows Himself not only as protector, but He shows Himself as a provider. Be still. Preacher, I got this bill. I got to have this. I got to have that. I'll never forget when Ethan, man, we wasn't making no money back then anyway, but Ethan was getting ready to have his first surgery. And I kid you not, I had, Brother Ed, you don't know what I'm talking about. I had two cows and two calves in our pasture. My grandpa, I bought my wife a cow for Christmas. Ain't that a gift? I bought her a cow for Christmas one year. She liked it. Yeah, it was good to sell a calf every year. But the people down at Presbyterian told me, he says, you're coming down on such and such a date. You need to bring $5,000 with you when you come. He got real quiet on the line. I was thinking, $5,000? Where in the world are we going to get $5,000? I was thinking, I got two cows and two calves. That ain't $5,000. I was thinking, God, what do we do? Son's got to have surgery. They're telling me I got to have $5,000. I ain't got it. You know what we did? We went down there, took our son, told him I didn't have $5,000, showed him what I did have, told him I'd pay him. They didn't believe me because by the time we got home, there was a payment book already in the mail. They beat us there. Yep. I'm saying this morning, I didn't have $5,000. But God took care of it. Now, he didn't put $5,000 in my checkbook. He didn't put $5,000 in the mailbox. But he did let me work. He did let me pay my bills. Why? Because God's a provider. And this morning, be still and just know that God is who He is. You ever heard of a missionary by the name of Hudson Taylor? Great, great missionary. Listen to this, what he said. It says, Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he wrote this, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect that He will send 3 million missionaries to China, But if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done is God's way. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Now you might forget the rest of that, but you ought to remember that last part. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. What do we do? Be still. That's the greatest power. You ever had anybody come up to you and say, man, how are you getting through this? We did. I smiled and said, I got a great big God. Yeah, he's big. Psalms 23, he's that great shepherd. Psalms 36, it talks about his faithfulness. John 14 tells about a place he's going to prepare. Revelation 22 talks about that place. He's a great provider. Not only is he a great protection and a great provider here, but in verse 6 through 7, he shows himself with all power and strength. I love this. As Miss Rhonda sung that song, is there anything too hard for my God? I love this story. There's a little boy. One day he was trying to pick up a rock. Not a pebble, a rock. He said, Daddy, can you picture? Here's a little old boy trying to pick up his rock. Daddy, it's too heavy. No, son, you're just not trying. You're not using all your strength. Daddy, it's too heavy. Son, you can pick that rock up. You're not using all your strength. Daddy, it's too heavy. Why do you keep saying you're not using your strength, my own strength? He says, son, because I'm standing here and you've not asked me yet to help you. You using all your strength this morning? You ask God to help you yet? You shall receive power. It's a power of protection. It's a power of provision. It's power and strength in a time of trouble. Verse 8 and 11, it shows his power of being that peacemaker. So this morning, you shall receive power. There is power, wonder-working power. This morning, are you striving with God? Oh, no, preacher, I'm not striving with God. Preacher, I love God. I love the Lord. I'm faithful to God. I'm here this morning. I read my Bible. But my question is, are you striving against Him? What do you mean, preacher? God said, be still. And if you're not being still this morning, you're striving against God. Now, would you say that you'd strive against God? Could you win? No. But this morning, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, God tells those men that day, and boy, what power they had. But I want to tell you this morning what power I have. I have all power. Preacher, you don't look like it. You look like a big old fat boy. I'm still strong. Strong in the Lord. Preacher, you don't sound real loud. You don't seem like you got all that. It's all right. You ever, my son's all into this, or he used to be, now he's on a different thought, it's a female now. Used to be cars, now it's females. I sort of wish he'd stay with the cars sometimes, but. Now, you ever see a car and you think, man, that thing looks fast. Man, I mean, it looks fast. You got that big old blower sticking up out of the hood. I mean, that thing just looks fast. I have seen. Anybody know what a gremlin is? It ain't that little thing on TV, that movie either. Anybody know what the old gremlins look like? It reminds me of a hamburger bun. That's what it sort of reminds me. Now, would you say that would be a fast car? I saw one time that was faster than anything that was on track that day. It sure didn't look like it. But what was ever hid under that hood was a big old car. Look, you might not look like the world says you're anything, but I can tell you this morning, with God, there's power. Mm-hmm. Preacher, my mind, boy, these people over here are so smart. They can do this. They're so smart. My Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And ye shall receive power. How do you show your power? Muscles? Speed? Mind? No. God says, be still and know that I am God. This morning, do you really know that? Oh, yeah, preacher. Well, are you practicing it? One of the greatest powers of God is the power of salvation. Only God can pick you up out of that miry pit and set your feet upon a rock and establish your goings. Testify how he picked me up. If you're not saved this morning, you need the power of God to come into your life and pick you up. If you're saved this morning, you need to realize where power is, and power comes only from God. Maybe we're like we saw in Deuteronomy, and it said, look at my power. And God says, I'll show you where your power comes from. Our power comes from God. Let's stand this morning. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And